because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Got to start out with an apology here. Mark Trump and Joseph Allen, they're here helping us at Sky High this weekend, and we're putting a roof on the garage. And we're sitting around talking last night, and that's why I love people coming by. What a Christian word, a fellowship. I love just hanging out with the guys and digging deeper on some issues. And last night about 9, I don't know what time it was, 10 after 9 maybe, I don't remember. I got up, I had to go to the bathroom, went to the bathroom, and next thing I knew, I went over, lay down on the bed, and I just catch my breath, and boom, I was gone. So Joseph and Mark are at my house having a discussion. I go to take a pee, and I never showed back up. So I want to apologize to them, and we had a good discussion this morning, and I just got to confess to you. I told my wife last night. I'm whipped. Okay, I'm worn out. We spent Michelle and I in particular spent the last, I believe it was 5 maybe 6 weekends on the road, and I'm not complaining. I love doing it. Love what I do. But when we got home from Kalispell, Montana the other day, there was a great fatigue. That's what it is. There's a fatigue that came over me. So if I appear to not be at the top of my game, I got to tell you something. I sleep like you ain't never slept. Maybe I ought to give everybody a little bit of a heads up on this, because I think this is okay. I watch Hagman's pretty regular, Hagman Report pretty regularly. I love Doug Hagman, and just love the information he brings. And one of their advertisers is always, I'm not messing with my phone. I'm going to show you something here. One of their advertisers was Whole Tones. And, let me try to explain this. Imagine that your brain is like a, imagine that's got swim lanes, like you would see in a pool swim lane. Okay. And you get in all day. You're in a certain swim lane, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever the topic it is that you're dealing with, you get in that swim lane and you go down. And sometimes even after you get out of the pool, you're still heading that same direction. You still got your mindset that way. And if we can imagine this as far as thought process, or Mark Trump would call electrical impulses or whatever, imagine that when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, you're still in that swimming pool. You're still in that swim lane, still going down that swim lane. And you have trouble. A lot of people I know have trouble sleeping. I hear about it, about it all the time. Well, the Hagmans they've advertised Whole Tones. And so I just did a YouTube search on Whole Tones, and I came up with this thing for me now. This thing, it's called, I don't know if you guys can see it, if I need to reverse it. It just says sleep music. I just Googled it. Just go Google the best sleep music. The best sleep music. That's all I Googled. And this thing came up. I'll let you hear it. And I've been playing this every night now for about 6 weeks. And I'm telling you, I ain't never slept like I sleep. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It's very, very soft. Bobby Lee and I, we shared a hotel room. And Bobby played ambient music. He played a fan. And I took my music and I put it right by my pillow. And here's what I think it does. If we think about sound and brain waves and all that stuff being waves, this breaks the pattern. It does for me. I'm just trying to give it to you. If you're having trouble sleeping, the best sleep music. That's all I did. I just Googled that thing. And it plays for 11 hours. 11 hours. And it has made, I just can't even tell you. I don't wake up in the middle of the night the way I used to. I don't know if some of you out there have I don't want to call them panic attacks, but whatever you would call them in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you sit up, you wake up, and man, your mind went someplace. And your mind, you ever notice that when you sleep at night, your mind never goes to a good place? It's always bad. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night with, we call them panic attacks. Do you ever wake up with joy attacks? Are you ever in the midst of a dream and something joyful is happening? You wake up and you're all joyful? No, it's always the other, isn't it? It's demonic. Hear that? I don't know if you can even hear that music. And it goes to different styles, and it'll get louder. It'll do different. So I just suggest that to you. It helps me sleep. So here at some point, I'm going to go get under a tree somewhere or in front of a fireplace, and I'm going to pull the blankets up over my head, and I'm going to sleep for about 2.5 days, and then I'll get everything caught up. So anyway, I don't know why I said that other than it'll help some of you. I really, really believe it will help something. Big announcement today, 35 of you in here today. We can stand more. Big, big announcement. Are you all sitting down? Let's bring in our favorite Texas State Highway Patrolman, and Chad Esses, head of the Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Big, big announcement. And Chad is not pregnant, and neither is Michelle. But it's big news. Come on in, Chad.
Yeah, I'm in here.
Come on, man. What's this big announcement you got for us?
Hey, I'm running for governor. I'm running for governor.
Might as well. We'd be better off if you did.
Today's my last day working, so I'm retiring, and tomorrow I'll be a regular Joe. So,
congrats! Congrats!
I'm out.
You are Chad Esses. As of tonight, will be retired from his job as a Texas State Highway Patrolman. Hey, Chad, tell us just a little bit of the process that went through, because when you and I first met and we got to become friends, you were looking to go longer to get more money for your retirement. So if I go 2 more years, Coach, if I go 3 more years, I get this much more money per month, yada, yada, yada. What happened, Chad? What brought about the change?
Well, I think what it is, you realize, you know, when you start putting the numbers to it, you know, at a certain point there in your career, you know, as you go along, you've got so much in the bank already, so to speak. You already got so much there. So if anything happens, you got that. So then the rest of your salary, then you figure that you're working for $156 a month, $130. Every month is a little bit less each month. And so, I don't know, man. I mean, my goal was to go at 50, and I'm 7 months early. So that's what it was. And plus, too, I realized that, look, we love our stuff, and that's what keeps us working. See, work to live, don't live to work.
Right.
So I just reduced the fat that I have here on my budget and those kind of things. And, you know, I told the wife I wanted a 3-year plan. That was when I turned 47. And so now we're seven months ahead of schedule. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So you're able to buy some of your military time, and some other issues came together. And you just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the plunge. And then you're going to draw retirement, which is not as much as you would get as, you know, you get overtime, a lot of stuff when you work. But you made the decision, I'm going to get free from the man, and then you'll figure out other ways to supplement your own income if that's necessary. Is that it, Chad? So you have traded your liberty. You now have liberty for some dollars. How much is that worth, you think, Chad, your freedom?
Well, it's priceless, you know. But, you know, the good thing is that I will try to get my old job back. Chippendales called me the other day. Anyway.
Yeah, you and Don. Maybe you can go on the Tonight Show.
I don't know. I got a face for radio. That's what I tell people.
This is me now, okay? I do not give financial advice. This is just me, okay? I would say anybody out there who is near retirement, some of you out there are you saying, like a lot of my teacher friends, you know, they said, well, if I go 35 years and I get a bigger retirement, I get more every month on my retirement. I say, yeah, but you gave up 5 more years of your life. You want to do that? And so I have encouraged everybody that I know to retire as soon as you can. Retire as soon as you can.
Well, I work with a lot of
you have to go supplement it someplace else. Because listen, Does Chad Estes know that his retirement will be there 5 years from now, Chad? Did you have confidence, Chad, that the financial system was good enough that you would, that that money 5 years from now is going to be waiting for you there?
Negative.
Didn't have any confidence. No. And so as a result of that, he's smart enough to say, I'm going to retire and I'm going to build, ready, a different set of income stream that if something happens to my retirement, I've got something else I've already fallen back on. So I'm not telling all of you to leave your job, but I think that you ought to prayerfully consider as soon as you can retire. That would be my advice. Anybody want to add something to that? Yeah, but coach, if I just go another 18 months, coach, I get another $175 a month. All right, well, go then. Go. If you want to be in prison, go for another $175 a month, which may not be there. That's my approach. Anybody want to punch me in the mouth or say, well, never thought of it that way? No? Cool. By the way, I'm in a pretty lighthearted mood today, even though I am tired. It's raining. It rained, started raining yesterday. It's raining today. It's going to get cold tomorrow. And we got some work, as I said, up at the top of Sky High. Any of you, Gary, I heard Gary said he can make it. And maybe some others can come help us on Saturday. Friday and Saturday would be really good. Anybody can get over, get that roof put back on that place. It's not real big. It's not going to take us long to do it. But the more people come, the more fun we'll have, the more pizza we'll eat, the fatter we'll all get, and it'll all be good. So if you can make it, make it. And please don't forget the yesterday, this shows you how tired I was. Gary Pierce told me, says, you kept calling him Jody. And I was probably saying his last name wrong. Jamie Waldron is going to put on, folks, it's going to be a fabulous little boot camp that we're going to put on here on November 16th. November 17th, he's going to speak at Mike Spalding's congregation there in Lima, Ohio. And we would love for all of you to come and fellowship. This is going to be really, really good stuff, and we'll get some more information out about it. But put it on your calendar. Say, you know what, coach, I'm going to try to make that. I'm going to try to make it to up there to the Buckeye Lake area to be part of that thing on the 16th. Good thing is the Buckeyes play Rutgers, so you don't have to worry about missing the Ohio State game. My wife said, better check out when they play. And so, yeah, that's right. So please, if you can, be great fellowship. I'm willing to put up as many people as I can. If you bring your own sleeping bag, you can sleep on the floor of our house. Sorry, honey, you can sleep on the floor at our house if that's an issue. Bring a cot. I got plenty of room down here in our basement. You can sleep in our cot. All that. We'll help you there. Okay. We would love for you to come. Somebody said, what about an RV? Well, we'll find a place to park it. You bring an RV, we'll find a place to put you. We'd just love to have you come and be part of this. What's going to be a wonderful event. And if you want to come in the night before on the 15th, feel free to come on in. Anybody got a question or a comment or anything about that? Somebody say something so I know that that will work in here, okay? That it's working.
What event's that, coach?
Okay, cool. Okay, now listen, I want to throw out on the table here really, because this is a great, what I'm about to share with you right now is not a complaint. Please don't look at it as a complaint, as whining and moaning and sucking on my thumb. Okay? This is a great lesson for all of us. Folks, I want you to know something. We are at war. We're at war. And those of us who are part of this program, especially the people who are in the queue and are part of the pre-show and the after show, there is a, for those who are out there just watching, by the way, are you listening to this? I got an email 4 days ago of a fully erect penis. I got an email. Somebody sent me a picture of a fully erect penis. That's the kind of crap I'm dealing with. Don't feel sorry for me, okay? Don't feel sorry for me. That's the kind of crap I'm giving you a fair warning, okay? I think they wanted me to respond back to them so then they could say that I was trafficking in pornography. I think it was a setup. So that's a warning for all of you out there, okay? But I want you to be very, very much aware that there are not a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are not happy with what goes on here. They're not happy with it, folks. They're not happy with Christian unity. They're not happy with the awakening of Christian men. They're not happy with that. And they're going to do everything they can to try to destroy what's going on here. All right. Now, understand this. Sometimes we misread in our own heart. We do things that we think are noble, but we do them wrong. I want to give you a good example of something just that happened just yesterday. 2 days ago, this is Halloween, and last night was Halloween. Praise the Lord. And the Astros got beat. Sorry, Todd, Leslie. Astros got beat. I've not watched one baseball game in 2 years. Isn't that something? The Lord is totally. I was having a discussion with Trump. The Bible says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And we've been taught in church that that means that the Lord will give you whatever you want to. Oh, give me the desires of my heart. No, no. When you allow Jesus Christ to come and live and rule and reign in your heart, he puts the desire in your heart. Scripture says he will give you the desire of his heart. His desire will become your desire. I couldn't care less about the World Series. I used to love the Yankees, the Cincinnati Reds. I could tell you every player on their batting average. I couldn't care. I couldn't care less. I couldn't. My only vice is I do still like the Browns, and I do still like the Buckeyes. But other than that, I don't really know what's going on in the sports world, except the Astros got beat. So having said that, when we do this public show, which we're doing right now, I get some of the most vulgar feed, especially if I talk about homosexuality. Hey, listen, all you homo lovers out there, listen to me. Please get a new line, okay? Please don't send me any more emails telling me that you must be a closet homo. Oh, no, that's what they say. You must want one up the hind end. That's what I mean. You must. Please get a new argument, will you? Get a new argument. And every time we talk about that I get that kind of stuff. So I expect that kind of stuff. But the wounds that come are the wounds of those who are wounds of a friend. Let me give you a perfect example of what happened and how it was handled from a Christian perspective. What a life lesson for all of us. On Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, I was speaking about how I thought it was a great show, by the way. How can two anointed brothers see things so differently? You guys, if you remember that, the focus wasn't on the brother. The focus was how he sees things totally differently than I do. How can that be? How can I think Trump is using, I'm sorry, God is using Trump, and he think that Trump is wicked? Two anointed men of God fighting in the same fight, plowing different rows. How can that happen? That was the gist of the argument that I was making, the question I was asking still today. How can Mark Taylor say this and another minister say this? And they are totally opposite if they're hearing from the same Holy Spirit. That was what I said. And I went back and listened. I didn't mention anybody or any ministry or anything by name. So I get a call yesterday, 2 days ago. And it was a call from my dear friend, Bradley D. And Bradley said, hey, coach, listen, somebody emailed me and said that you're saying some less than complimentary things about me on the show. And so I was kind of curious. He said, I thought I'd go listen to it. Because he said, I didn't expect that out of you. I thought we were brothers. And he said, I want you to know that I went back and I listened to that show, and I took no offense to anything that you said. By the way, I never mentioned Bradley by name. I never mentioned Bradley. I'd heard Bradley on a Friday and Saturday, and he was one of the guys that I was referring to, that he has a different perspective on Trump than I do. It's okay. We're still brothers. And he listened to it, and he called me. Here's the message, see. He didn't let the rumor mill go any farther. He didn't let that rumor settle in him and try to bring discord between Bradley and I. He picked up the phone. He said, Coach, how you doing? I love you. We're brothers in the Lord. Here's what I heard. Here's what happened. Now, folks, do you understand how much trouble we avoided because he simply did that? He simply
That's a real man,
coach.
That's
a real man.
Coach. You know what he said? He said, Coach, I knew that wasn't you. He said, I knew you wouldn't do that. I knew you wouldn't do that, Coach. And he said, so I listened to it, and be honest with you, I didn't take offense with anything that you said. And I'm not going to let Donald Trump come between your relationship and me. We're not going to let that happen, Coach. So I just want you to know that I got the call, and this is what happened, and I'm calling you to let you know that I got the call, and it's all cool by me. Now, folks, think about how many times we get offended. Somebody tells us something, and we let it fester, and the next thing we know, that relationship's broken. And I really believe that the Lord is trying to mold together Bradley, Dean, and our ministry. I really believe that. There's something going on with that. And whoever it was that sent the email to Bradley, see, I don't think you did that maliciously. I don't think you were trying to get me or get Bradley or cause a fight. I hope not. I don't think so. The point I'm trying to make is Bradley handled it like a Christian. In fact, whoever it was that sent the email to Bradley should have sent the email to me. From a Christian perspective, that's the way it would have been handled. You didn't like what I said. You thought I was saying something that was not nice about Bradley, even though I never mentioned his name. You should have emailed me and said, Coach, are you talking about Bradley? Is that something that you should do publicly? That's the way it should be handled. You don't call Bradley and say, Coach is talking about you. Is this making sense? And so because Bradley was a strong Christian man who has a relationship with me and we know each other, he said, I know I'm not getting the whole thing here. So I'm going to call Coach. I'm going to find out. So there's a real lesson there for all of us. Pull up Jared or Connor, Proverbs 6. And I believe.
Amen, Coach. I was just going to tell you to go there, not only to Proverbs 6, but in the finders of the faith or finders of truth, keepers of the faith. A few weeks ago, the opening line was that murmuring, and you can add murmuring, complaining, and backbiting, is the devil's music.
It is, Dale. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm not whining, moaning, complaining. It's, you know,
we just got to be the careful.
The murmuring has impacted my show, my relationship with people.
Absolutely. Stuff
could have been handled very easy with a phone call, right? Yep. Let's not let
but
them
that
happen.
Proverbs, the six things he hates, the seventh is an abomination. Bill Shanks said this about that. I said, Brother Bill, why is that an abomination when you read that? He who sows the discord. He said, Brother, it's like a spiritual abortion. I was like, wow.
Man, oh man, oh man. Proverbs 6, go to 16, I think. Hey, folks, listen. My old buddy Dave Ponce told me when all the shooting starts, you got to make sure that all the enemy's in front of you. We got to quit shooting at each other, man. We have got to stop this. We've got to stop it. There are 6:16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. By the way, I think a lot of backbiting comes from pride, by the way. A lying tongue. I think a lot of lying comes from from pride. Hands that shed innocent blood, right? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And I could camp on that one. Feet that be swift running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brothers. That's it, isn't it? There it is. So as Bradley and I had in our conversation yesterday, I don't agree with everything Bradley does. And Bradley doesn't agree with everything I do. But I'll be daggone if we're going to separate over Donald Trump. And I'll be doggone if we're going to separate over something somebody said that somebody said. We have to be more mature than that. We have to be more. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. I thank you, Bradley, for the example that you showed yesterday, giving me the call, and we dealt with him man to man, and I wasn't mad, and he wasn't mad, we're building even more of a relationship. Somebody come on in, because I got some really good stuff I want to dig out here real quickly.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, discord. I used to be on Facebook, and I got so attacked by people so-called Christians. So I took myself off of it because I wasn't mature enough to really handle it. I may be getting back on it, but I'm able to lead myself into not let the discord.
Yeah, you can't take your, you cannot, folks, listen, you cannot take yourself too seriously. Please quit taking yourself so seriously. Now, when I go to Facebook, I've told you this a lot of times. I go to Facebook, I place a thought, and for the most part, I move on. I don't argue on Facebook. I don't even know these people. And it always ends up, I'm sorry, it always, listen to me, it always ends up as a public disagreement between brothers. And that is not good. Not the disagreement. The public disagreement is not good. There are non-believers that are watching how Christians interact with each other on Facebook. It's crazy. Be careful what you do there. Anybody else? Cool. I want to share something with you. I want to be able to say this and write. Jared, pull up, Connor, pull up Philippians 3 for a second.
Hey, Coach, can I put one sentence in there?
Well, you know you can. Please do.
If you don't hear something firsthand, it's gossip.
Amen.
Do not repeat anything unless you hear it firsthand. And then you need to discern at that point, too, if it's right or wrong, to what to do with it. So it's gossip, Coach. That's a fact.
It's worse than that. It's murder. It is murder. Because if you repeat something that is not true about somebody, how do you make sure that that word didn't keep getting spread and that somebody's reputation wasn't destroyed in somebody else's mind because of a rumor they heard? Right? So I have an obligation to try to protect your integrity and your reputation, and you should do the same for me. Yes, Raj?
I've got a question. Maybe it's a different perspective. I have felt that the church has used that seventh one, sowing discord, to muzzle men.
Yes.
That the idea is, see, I enjoy the huddle and I enjoy calling a guy periodically, talking about it. Hey, I love this one, didn't like that. But it's not sowing discord. It's talking to a friend. It's
right.
Rehashing a show. And I enjoy doing that. But yes, I think a lot of pastors and people, they use that discord thing to shut you up. That, I'm a man. I have an opinion on things I listen to. And I like talking about things that I listen to. I'm not real big on calling a guy up to talk about the Browns. But I like talking about Halloween, the pros and cons about it, and what somebody says and has taught about it.
So I agree, Roger. That's just having discussion. But sowing discord would be me sending an email to Chad about something Roger said. No. Go to Chad. Go to Roger. Say, Roger, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? Because that put Chad in a good light. What did you mean by that? We have to start doing that, folks. Got to stop the rumor mill because that's where the enemy wants. That's what, so I would just say this, whoever sent the email to Bradley, I pray you had good intentions, but ask yourself, why did I send that to Bradley? Why did I tell Bradley what Coach was doing rather than asking Coach, why are you doing that? See, you understand, right? So the Bible says you go to your brother, Bradley picked me up, called me, say, Coach, what's going on? He didn't call somebody else and ask what, okay, we got it. Cool. So let's do this real quickly before I get too deep. Let's get Robert in here on his October 31st Keepers of the Faith, Finders of Truth. And it's a short one today, actually, Robert. Must have been out trick-or-treating last night. Didn't write you very big.
Hey, Coach.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's short, all right.
Oh.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Coach.
Morning, my brother.
October 31st. Vance Havner says, sometimes your medicine bottle has on it shake well before using. That is what God has to do with some of his people. He has to shake them well before they are usable. So that's a good little statement there.
Amen.
I think the millennials will like this little devotional here. It says, millennials want to run the race, not tread water. Here it is. The millennials are looking for the real thing. They are tired of powerless religion, circus shows. Connor, can you pull that up? They are tired of powerless religion, circus shows, skits, hype, clowns, running loose in the sanctuary, or pulpit promoters full of hot air and yet are frozen, counting noses and nickels while courting demons.
Wow, there's a mic drop.
Many churches today in seeking to become...
I'm sorry, counting noses and nickels while courting demons. Holy smoke. Go ahead.
Many churches today in seeking to become big fish for the lost using circus nets. They catch the naive fish, never clean them, and allow them to swim in their religious murky waters Sunday after Sunday until finally they are swallowed by the piranha swimming outside the door.
What a word picture.
Really. Modern churches and mega churches often become mega shallow pools where children play in the water but never get out and run the race.
Wow.
Millennials want to go somewhere and run the race, not tread water going nowhere.
Robert, that is a mouthful there, brother. That is a mouthful. They do, right? Modern churches and mega churches often become mega shallow pools where children play in the water but never get out and run the race. Man, oh man. Hey, listen, thanks, Robert. I want to remember Mike and Polly Heath this morning. They're in Guatemala. They're doing some ministry work down there, but Polly's also having some surgery down there as well. Cheaper. It's funny, huh? Heath, like a lot of other people, don't have medical insurance. They found out that this certain surgeries can be done more cheaply in Mexico. So that's, or in South America. They're in Guatemala. I know that's not Mexico. They're in Guatemala today. Going to be there, I think, 7 days doing some ministry work. So keep Mike and Polly Heath in your prayer. Amen. Oh, God. Golly, so many things. What? What's your ministry? I want you to think about that. What is your ministry? Did I say to pull up Philippians? Did I say that? Is it on the screen? What is your ministry? I think part of the frustration that we have in the body of Christ, in men in particular, is we don't really know what our ministry is. We don't really know where we belong. We really don't know what our job is. Now, I was reading Philippians 3 this morning. I got it up on the screen, so bear with me here a second. I want to show you a very, very important word in this. Paul says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. So what? What's concision? Hey, maybe you ought to look that up real quick there, Connor, under Mr. Webster. Concision. A good word, isn't it? C-O-N-C-I-S-O-N. There it is. Concision. Down at the bottom there, buddy. Concision. Literally a cutting off. In Scripture, the Jews or those who adhered to circumcision, which after our Savior's death was no longer a seal of the covenant, but a mere cutting off of the flesh. Beware of dogs and beware of those who want to cut you off. Okay, go back to Philippians. Concision. Beware of those who are trying to constantly cut you off of the body. But we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. He said, I think, you know, I say I trust in my flesh some, I do some. I circumcised the eighth day after the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law. He said, man, I had it all down. I went to the right schools. I went to the right universities. I had the PhD. Concerning zeal, I had that. I was persecuting the church. I was touching the righteousness, which is the law, and I was blameless. In other words, he said, I was puffed up. I thought I had it all right, man. I'd gone through all the classes and hung out with the right people. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss when he ran into Jesus. He said, all that stuff ain't worth nothing. And yet, doubtless, I count all things. Everything is but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Whoa! Win Christ? How do you win Christ?
Coach?
Yeah.
It's do count them as dung.
What did I say, Joe? Do count them as
dung. I count, but dung.
I'm sorry, buddy. I count them as dung, right? Chad started to count his job as dung. Chad said, I want to get free from the dung heap, and I want to start serving the Lord. I want my life back so I can serve the Lord. And maybe it's going to cost me a boat. Maybe it's going to cost me a bulldozer. Maybe it's going to cost me a tractor. But I ain't going to keep working like a fool and not living my life. And verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. He said, I got all these laws and all these rules and regulations. I can't make myself righteous. I can't do that because it's of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, oh my Lord, and the power of his resurrection. Wow. Seems to me that he couldn't hang on to all that dung and know the power of his resurrection. Anybody else making that connection? He said, I got to get rid of all that stuff so I can really get to know him. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. How many of us are doing that? Being made conformable unto his death. He's telling us you got to get rid of your junk and you got to get rid of your pride and who you think you are. If you're ever going to be able to be conformed to the power of his resurrection. To be conformed into his image. You cannot bring all that junk with you. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I followed after, if that I might apprehend, capture that for which also I am captured of Christ Jesus. Brothers, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do. Folks, there is the phrase, okay? There is the phrase. This one thing I do. Now, as you look at yourself and your call and the call of the Lord upon your life, what is the one thing you do? What is it? What is it you do? Now, hang on. I do a lot of stuff, but ultimately there's one thing I do. I'm going to show you what it is here in a second, okay? There's one thing I do. When I look at Chad Estes, what's the one thing he does? Yeah, he does a lot of different things. But when I think of him, what is that one thing that he does? He organizes. That's the one thing he does. What's the one? If you're trying to figure out what your ministry is, can you identify that one thing that you do? And forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, and you will never get there if you don't know this one thing you do. What is your gifting? What do you do? And I'll be honest, some of the frustration I'm having in my life right now is because I'm doing some things that I don't usually do. And so I was doing a self-assessment here. Lord, what is that one thing that I do? You want to hear? It's what the Lord told me. And not only does the Lord tell you, he confirms. And I don't want this to be about me, but it's great to make an illustration because a lot of people don't understand me. And I'll tell you, sometimes I don't understand me. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Holy Spirit said, Coach, you're my fire starter. You're my fire starter. See, I thought I was America's coach, as Doug Hagman said. No. I'm a fire starter. I'm a fire starter in place where there is wet kindling and dry kindling. But my job is to try to go and to ignite, dare I say it, fan it into flames. Fan that spark into flames. I'm a fire starter. Let me give you some examples. Bradley Dean asked me this weekend, said, hey, Coach Dave, what was that whole Hillary thing? Why did you go there? And I said, well, we're not done with it. But my heart was to go try to start a fire, bonfire over Hillary and put pressure on William Barr and Donald Trump, who told us he was going to lock her up. I was going to go ignite that fire. And I did it. But see, I'm not the keeper of the flame. I'm the fire starter. And I began to think about it today as I pull up on the screen real quick. This may mean nothing to you, but I'm telling you, you want confirmation? I'm going to give you some confirmation here, boys. Go down there and click, Connor, where it says the freedom, the Kinsey link, the blue Kinsey link. I want you to put this up on the screen because I saw this yesterday and I about fell out of my chair. Can somebody tell me real quickly what's my job? I want to make sure you're getting it.
Fire starter.
I'm a fire starter. I'm not a keeper of the flame. I'm a fire starter. I'm an arsonist. I'm a Christian arsonist. And I saw this. I just kind of fell backwards almost. Well, I can't trying to find it on my own screen here. Where am I here? I hate this thing. There it is. I'll be nice now. Better come down there. There he is. Okay. Look on this screen. Experts investigate child rape at Indiana University Kinsey Institute. What's the date on this thing? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? 6, 8 months ago? October 28th. Some of you say, so what? I'm missing the connection here. Can somebody other than me make the connection of what I'm looking at and smiling at?
Well, we did a flash mob there.
We did a flash mob at the Kinsey Institute in Indiana, didn't we? Didn't we light a spark there? And the spark, by the way, I thought nobody even noticed, really. Nobody even noticed that spark. When Lowell, we all went over there, and Lowell got lost. Lowell drove 4 hours over and 4 hours back, never even got out of the car. He and the guys that were in this and a bunch of us. I should have brought some pictures to show you that we did it. We did it. We lit that spark. And I'm not going to read down through this thing. But do you believe this? There's some people now who are waking up and saying, we got to go after Kinsey. Kinsey has got to go at Indiana University. By the way, he is their patron saint. He is. So rather than us reading down this article, you can all go down and read it. It's the same stuff that I said about Kinsey. It's now being exposed about him raping children, doing research on prepubescent children. That would be called child molestation in any other place other than academia. And look what's up. Protect Child Health Coalition is now pointing their guns at Kinsey. Can somebody tell me why? Come on, why?
Hey, fire is light, Coach, and light displaces darkness. It has to go there to displace it.
Somebody lit a spark. You understand? It's not my job to go burn down the Kinsey Institute. That's not my job. My job is to light a spark and shine light on it.
Bring it to the light.
Bring it to the light. And it took a while, didn't it? It took a while.
Let me ask you this.
Does anybody remember when was that we went to the Kinsey Institute? Does anybody remember when that was? That a year ago? Maybe somebody in the chat who's listening will remember when we did that. I do so many things sometimes I forget about it. When was that? When did Rich? Do you remember when that was, Rich? It was over your way. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was about a year. I think it was about a year ago.
About a year ago.
So it's it was during football season. That's for sure.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it was during football season. So.
Yeah, it was a fall. It was the fall of the year, I think. I'll get a hold of Lowell. We'll find out. So bear with me, okay? Because I want to share some other things with you. Just that this is for me today. This is for me because it has encouraged me. All right. Now, how many of you have heard of Dr. Ken Hovind? Many of you have heard from Dr. Ken Hovind. How many of you know that Dr. Ken Hovind was in jail? This is 4 years ago, I think, 5 years ago. He was in jail for tax issues or whatever. They said 10 years in jail, and then they were trying to keep him in jail again. They were going to recharge him with another felony and try to lock him up for the rest of his life, keep him in jail. And I caught wind about it, and we went down to Panama. Where's Panama? Was it Panama? No. What's the other one? Doesn't matter. Pensacola. Thank you. Right in my head. We went down to Pensacola, Florida, and what did we do? We went outside and we held signs and we did our thing. And we brought attention to what was going on to Ken Hovind, and we got some legal help and yada, yada, yada. What happened? Anybody know where Ken Hovind is today? Instead of spending 10 more years in jail, does anybody know where he is? Well, he's back doing his creation evangelism ministry in southern Alabama. Back at it. Back out. Why? Because I'm a fire starter. Does it sound like I'm bragging? I'm not bragging. I'm trying to show you what's going on. If we'll see and we'll understand. You guys ever hear of the Target protest? Do you know how the Target protest began? How it began 3 years ago or 4 years ago? When I saw that Target was going to let men use the women's restroom, what did I do? I got the video. I can show you right now. I gathered my daughter and I went to Target. I went in Target and held up a sign. Said men may be in women's bathrooms. And I lit a spark, and American Family Association picked it up. And $20 billion later, Target's fighting for their lives. And y'all heard of Kim Davis? Huh? Heard of Kim Davis, right? The county clerk that refused to marry homosexuals? Well, we caught wind of that. And what do you suppose we did? Well, we went down, didn't we? We went down, we lit a spark. We stood out on the street corners. We held signs. We handed out pamphlets. We held a rally. 10,000 people came to the rally. 10,000 more couldn't get in because of the crowd on the freeway. And what happened? While we were there, Kim Davis walked out of the jail. They let her out of jail. We are a fire-starting ministry. I could go on and on and on and on. But I say this for the Lord encouraged my heart today as I said, I've been tired, I've been worn down, and energy low. And the Lord just dumped that one down in my heart today through that thing on Kinsey, and it refreshed me. Because people ask me, often people will say, hey, Coach, whatever became of that Equal Justice Tour thing? I started a fire, I don't know. As far as I know, it's still burning. I don't know. But if you think I'm going to go arrest Hillary, that's not, no, I light fires. And Randy Lunsford went and put his hands on that threshold. And I'm telling you, the threshold at Hillary Clinton's place, I'm telling you this, that thing's coming down. It's coming down. Why? Because we are a fire-starting ministry. Somebody come on in. Now, if you think I'm sorry, I'm just presenting evidence to you. That's all I'm doing. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, look, I think it's the same thing. See, the expectation, see, the people that are hating the saying that y'all went down to there to Hillary's place, you laid hands on the thing, and look, nothing happened. See, those people, they have to be right every day.
Hmm.
She only has to get arrested once, and we're right.
Good point, man. Okay? Good point.
Now, also at the same time, look, this is the same thing. I look at you and Trump as the same kind of character. Because, see, he's a revealer, in my opinion. He's mm-hmm. a revealer. I'm not defending Trump or whatever. I'm just looking at the guy as what he is.
He's certainly revealing the deep state.
He's supposed to bring everybody to justice. He's supposed to expose all this and take them all to justice and then fix the country and everything, and everyone else is just going to go on with their lives.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works.
No.
That's why we're the body of Christ. Everybody's got a job to do. And if you one person don't do their job, then that doesn't complete the circuit.
So, Chad, that is a great illustration. And we went to Hillary Clinton's and I lit a spark. And because I lit a spark, Randy Lunsford was able to exercise his gift. It, folks, come on, man. We're a body. We're a body. And if we will all just continue to do, what did Paul say? This one thing. That's why the question this morning is, what is your ministry? What is it? What is that one thing that you do? My buddy Mark Jantz, he's the track king. He hands out more tracks than anybody I know. This one thing he does, that he does it and does it and does it, does it. What's yours? What's that one thing that you do? My wife, God bless my wife, she always goes with me and does everything. And she always gets like really, she's kind of uptight because there are guys in our house, you know, Joseph's here and Mark's here. And Michelle's uptight because why? This one thing she does is hospitality. That's the one thing she does. And it took me a long time to realize when she'd say, how many people are coming? And I would say, I don't know, four or five, don't worry about it. It bothered her because her gift is hospitality. So everybody feels welcome and loved and fed and put in the right bed. That is her gift. That is the one thing she does. And if I don't recognize the one thing that she does, she's not able to be successful at doing it. What is that one thing you do? Because we're one body and we're many members. We all got different gifts. And you'll go far and wide and high and low to find a church where people want to plug in. First of all, identify your gift for you, and secondly, even plug in. You get plugged in at a local church if you butter up to the pastor, which, by the way, some people try to pull that on me. They get mad when they want to butter up. Why? They want to butter up to me. I don't know. Appears like influence, whatever. Be important in my, I don't know what it is. I'm looking for gifts.
I got a question, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay, or a statement, rather. You know, I don't think it's a gift of somebody to be a hater on somebody else's gift. I don't think that's a gift.
I don't think so either. I think
that's a choice.
It's a choice. So, Chad, I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns. And I love the Cleveland Browns, and they're 2-5, and they still want to make the playoffs. And they're not going to make the playoffs unless they do one thing. They got to find a left tackle. They got Baker Mayfield and OBJ, and they got all these Nick Chubb. They got all these great players, but they ain't got a left tackle. And until they fix that, they're not going to be good.
Well, they could leave a back in there to chip that guy, or they could have him roll out right. You know, there's other ways around it.
There are, but see, once you start making those type of adjustments, you become less effective, man.
He's not pulling his weight, though, is he?
He's not.
Going to be part of the body. He's got to do his thing, okay. Right?
So, I'm not trying to convict anybody. I'm trying to encourage people. What's your gift? If I were to go right down here right now and say, hey, Alan Zeifer, what's your gift? Do you know what it is? Bob and Tammy, you know what your gift is? Hey, Brian Cunningham, what's this one thing you do? Hey, Dale, what's this one thing you do? Gail, Jeff Nell, what's this one thing that you do? Because if we don't understand that we're up there, I was amazed when we were up at the Sky High yesterday between Joseph and Mark Trump, the things they know how to do. And it all revolves around fixing things and maintenance. And I stand there and I feel like I'm in church. I'm just an observer. I think, how do you do that? How'd you do that? Well, coach, it was just connected this capacitor to that capacitor and went into this trunker and that came up. Yeah. Because why? That's not my gift. And we all get frustrated when we are forced to operate outside of our giftings. What's your gift? What's that one thing that you do? Until you figure that out, do a self-assessment. Sit down. See what it is that you're drawn to. What is it you find yourself enjoying doing? I'll promise you this. Your gift is someplace in the middle of that. I'm going to start carrying napkins with me. I love
Philippians 3. I know you're in Philippians. Philippians 3:12. That's exactly what you're saying. Is not that I've already obtained it, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me for.
Hey, God boy. Is.
That's it, bro.
That's it, isn't it? I'm trying to get hold of the Lord to find what it is he wants to do through me. What is it, Lord? I want to do this one thing. And I'm proud. Hey, Doug Hagman, I'm not America's coach. I'm America's fire starter. And I'm happy to be so. But I need covering.
What we would call you in, I'm sorry, coach. What we call you in the South, you're the stick that stirs the gumbo to keep it from burning in the bottom of the pot.
That's right. And I embrace it. And it's okay. I don't mind going publicly and being a flamethrower. I don't mind going into a meeting and speaking the truth. I don't mind. I thrive on that. Why? That's my gift. And some people don't like it.
Hebrews 1:7.
Pardon me?
Hebrews 1:7.
Read it to me.
Well, I'll just quote it to you. He says, "And I make my ministers pillars of fire." William Booth said, "If you want people to hear you preach the gospel, set yourself on fire, because people are drawn to things burning."
Amen, buddy. Amen. Now, not everybody burns. Not everybody's a flame of fire. Not everybody's a fire starter. But unless you, me first, unless I understand my ministry, I'm going to be running to and fro. And until you understand my ministry, you're going to be questioning why I'm running to and fro. I hear that all the time. Coach, what became of that? I don't know, man. I threw the matches on and I left. I don't know. That's that one thing that I do. What do you do? And I'm not asking in the condemning way. I'm asking you to get before the Lord and ask you, Lord, what is it I do? What really, Lord, is my gift? What have you raised me up to do? And when you come to that conclusion, do it with all of your might. Burn everything. Burn the bridges, man, and do it with all your might. Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, well, the analogy, and I just, you know, what God had put in you as a coach, now he uses it for his glory. Football coaches, they go and they do home games and they do away games. And when they go do away games, man, they stir up the city. And guess what? Then they go back home. Brother, that's what you do as a Christian. You go into this city, you go into that city, you stir up a fire and say, "All right, boys, get on the bus. Let's go back home."
And I'm not responsible for cleaning up the mess. I'm not responsible for how high the fire burns. I light a spark.
Second Timothy 1:6. That's good.
What is it?
2 Timothy 1:6. Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift which is within you. 2 Timothy 1:6.
1:6. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother. In other words, he's making a spiritual connection. You got this from somebody else. It first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Lois, and then in Eunice. And I'm persuaded you got it too, boy. You got it too. And wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. That gift is in you because your grandma Lois had it, your mom Eunice had it, and you got it now. Fan it into flames, boy. Blow on it, boys. Wake it up. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.